What's up, y'all? My name is Mo Mitch, and I am the host of In The Moment. Brand new episodes released every Tuesday morning. I believe in laughing through pain, and I give you a lot of opportunities to laugh at mine.
We're being honest here. Who am I to judge Lauren London? Even if she did have a baby 2 years after they broke up. My ex had a baby with another guy while we were still together.
Bruh.
Wait for me to die. She ain't even wait for us to break up.
I'm 100% transparent on my podcast every time. I use my personal experiences to hopefully help you navigate through yours. So yeah, you're gonna laugh till it hurts, but you might also learn something.
But if you're loving on somebody who has been abused, keep this in mind. There are things that can happen to you as a grown man that'll trigger that abuse you faced as a child, and it'll make you a child again. As a man, I ran from that.
Listen to In The Moment on Acast or wherever you get your podcast.
Listen, it's The Vert Show.
All right, let's get Janet on here because she's getting married to a guy that has a 14-year-old daughter who's not the greatest role model for her own 12-year-old daughter, and she's asking for advice on exactly how to handle that. This is a tough one here. Hey, Janet, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Okay, do tell.
Well, I mean, like you said, I'm getting married, and I'm so madly in love with him. I am so excited. We've been together for 2 years, and we just, it's meant to be. It's who we're supposed to be with, you know? But now, it's just kind of a little rocky, because his daughter and my daughter, you know, they get along, but his daughter is just kind of going through a little bit of a rough patch, and I don't really know how to proceed with my daughter. Her attitude is starting to follow.
So the more your 12-year-old hangs out with his 14-year-old, you can feel this shift in attitude?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I really see it when his daughter goes to his ex's house. She's very unsupervised. She's allowed to go on all the apps, TikTok. There's apps that I've never even heard of that she's on, Snapchat, like Be Real, etc. I don't know. I'm sure there are tons that I've never heard of. All I know is that she's in this mindset that she can do whatever she wants, say whatever she wants, watch whatever she wants. And now my daughter is trying to follow suit. And I put a lot more rules on my daughter. And now she sees this and she's fighting back. And every time I try to bring this up to my fiance, he gets very defensive for his own daughter, which I understand. And it's just a very sensitive subject. And now my concern, I don't really know how to bring this up and how to set rules and restrictions that my daughter will even follow.
Man, this is a tricky one.
This is complicated. Tough.
Let's go to the smart people. Bert Show fam, 1-855-BERT Show.
Because undoubtedly somebody has been in this exact same situation.
Oh, no. People are obviously always going to be defensive of their child. And if he is not going to receive any of what you are trying to explain, I really don't know what you do. Because if y'all can't meet in the middle to try to figure out a way that is going to work for both kids, should you even be married at that point?
People aren't defensive of their child. People are defensive of how their child reflects their parenting.
Ah.
That's good.
It can very much, because it's like, I think they can kind of, certain instances, yes, for sure. But in an instance like this, if you start pointing things out, it's not about what the kid is doing wrong. It's what I'm doing wrong as a parent.
Got it.
To enable this behavior. Mm-hmm. And that's when they get real personal and defensive and, you know, become difficult.
I don't know.
I don't either.
I've never really had to deal with like that pre-teen or teen girl thing, which I understand is very different than boys.
It is, so, and the hormones. And especially because you're saying like your daughter's very impressionable and she worries about what other people thinks, at least per the, you know, the email that you had sent us. I would just, if I was in your shoes, I would have constant conversations with my daughter. And this is not to call out your stepdaughter's behavior, but just to reiterate the behavior you want to see in your daughter. And I do think it's a conversation you have to have with your soon to be husband. And that's where I worry, where like, you know, you calling him out for his daughter's behavior. I don't want him to get defensive, but I do feel like parameters and house rules need to be established that are going to benefit the entire family.
Right. And I wouldn't say it's calling him out because he's a great father.
Yeah.
It really is when she's mm-hmm. not in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And how can he have any sort of say when it's her rules, the mother, the ex-wife?
And as somebody and, who, I have a friend who's got a daughter this, like 14, and the she and her ex-husband are not co-parenting well. Mm. And she has no control over what she does in her ex's mm-hmm. house. And I don't know what you do in that situation.
Let's try to get you some quick.
And that's kind of what this is.
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa, good morning. You were on the Burt Show. You have some advice here for Janet?
I don't even know if I have advice, but I went through that. I did not have a child. My ex-husband had a child, and he was 12, 13, and we divorced because of the child. Oof. Because the child was very disrespectful, unruly, got in trouble at school. I'm a school teacher, so I was trying to give him advice on what to do with the child and help him at school with discipline and so forth. But the father did not, in his own words, did not want to be seen as the bad guy because he was trying to co-parent with the child's mother.
Yeah.
So it was like good cop, bad cop, and he wanted to be the good cop. So his child was actually coming into our bedroom. We moved into my house when we got married. So it felt like my house, even though it is our house, I had been there 20 years. And when we were not at home, his son would come in the bedroom and go through the drawers and mm-hmm. steal money, take things. And my ex-husband would never hold his son responsible. And that made me feel bad because I'm an adult in my own home.
Sure.
And there's a child who had free reign. There were actually no boundaries whatsoever. So it was the child. And not even the child, it wasn't about the child. It was about my ex-husband yeah. not being able to parent because he was so concerned about being the good parent and wanted to yeah. be liked because he wanted the son to come and live with us.
Sure.
Okay. And I told him we were not ready for that at all because I was not able to provide any discipline. I was not able to say, no, you can't do this. Yes, you can do that. And his father was always, yes, 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 which is not a good thing. But ultimately, that is exactly what led to our divorce.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, so you got that going for you, Janet. most of the calls coming in, unfortunately, don't have a lot of advice, but it's kind of saying the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. your marriage is kind of in the balance right now. Like, mm-hmm. this is a really, really big issue. Unfortunately, I don't have anything here with direct, like, advice for you, except... when we get stuff like this, it's normally like, I say, you need to see a therapist about that, yeah. man, a professional. We
And Janet, I hate to 100%. Tell you, a majority of the people on the line are like, this is not going
to
end well.
Yeah, you need to nip this in the bud now, and you need to do it with a professional, Janet, before you lose your marriage.
Yeah, it's a serious thing. I mean, she's in an age where this could change her life, the course of her life, mm-hmm. and my daughter's. So it is a very serious situation.
For sure. For sure. All right. Good luck, Janet. Let us know how it goes. All right.
Thank you so much.
I wish we had better advice for you, but
I know. I feel
based
so
on
bad.
These calls, that's this man, like, one. Yeah, this thing is teetering right now. It's the Burt Show.
This is the Burt Show.
All right, Mo, are you ready for me to make your life better?
Yes.
Are you sure?
No.
Okay. All right. So, anybody who is an overthinker, like Mo, you are a self-professed overthinker. You have said it numerous times on this show, correct?
I'm like the overthinker of overthinking.
Give us an example of what that might look like. When's the last example of you just completely overthinking a situation where you just couldn't get out of your mind?
I do it every night. I think it's one of the reasons why I don't sleep well ever. Like somebody told me once, you'll never sleep well unless you have peace in your life. That's a part of sleeping well. And I think I never have peace because every night I'm overthinking my entire day. What I said, what I didn't say, how somebody might have taken it. If I should have taken something differently, I'm thinking about things that haven't happened yet. Like, what if it goes this way? I'm constantly in my brain about everything.
How long does this process go on in your head before you fall asleep? I mean, it's part of your routine now.
About 30 minutes, I'd say.
Like,
if I'm exhausted, I'll be sleeping 15 minutes. I'm never sleeping less than 15 minutes.
So let me wrap my head around this for just one second, Kristen. The last part of your day, every day, the last 15 minutes before you're supposed to go to sleep, is stressing yourself out about things that happened in that day.
100%.
Whoa!
Either things that happened that day or things that haven't happened yet for the next day. And I try my best to, like, just stop it. Just to completely... I've tried meditating. I've tried different exercises to get me to stop doing it, but...
it's like impossible to me.
I have to introduce you to my friend Delta 8. he's very kind and he makes you think less.
Okay.
Okay, that is not my advice. But I saw this post, credit goes to Business Growth Mentor. And as soon as I read this, I'm like, I have to share this with Mo. It says, overthinking is the biggest cause of unhappiness. It took me 9 years to beat overthinking. Here are the 8 ways you can beat overthinking.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm trying not to overthink it.
The problem is rarely the problem. 99% of the harm is caused in your head by you and your thoughts. 1% of the harm is caused by reality, what actually happens in the outcome. Most of the time, the problem isn't the problem. The way you think about the problem is.
I would agree with that. That's deep.
Avoid self-rejection. Don't think you deserve that opportunity? Apply for it anyways. Don't think your article is good enough? Publish it anyways. Don't think they'll reply to your email? Send it anyways. Never overthink yourself into self-rejection.
I don't think that's ever been part of your problem.
I don't think so either.
Somewhat.
Yeah?
Like, I won't put certain songs out, or I'll do videos for my social media and then hate them and then won't put them out. Oh. I do that a lot where I think it's not good enough, so I just won't do anything with it.
Silence and time. The truth is, most problems aren't solved with more thinking. They're solved with less. You'll find most of the answers you're looking for in silence, in time band with a clear mind. If you can't solve a problem, stop trying to.
See, that's funny because I try to avoid silence by any means because that's typically when my mind becomes a playground.
An important question. When you start criticizing yourself for past mistakes or seeing disaster around every corner, ask yourself, is there anything I can do right now to change the past or to positively influence the future? If the answer is yes, do it, take action. If the answer is no, be at peace, let it go. You have to take action or let it go. Everything else is self-harm.
I worry about things I can't change all the time. That's the issue.
You gotta let it go. All right, now, the next one is the power of now. You're not going to overthink your way to a better future. You're not going to overthink your way to a better past. All you have is now. And what you do with now can make right of your past and make good of your future. Make peace with yesterday. Let go of tomorrow. Grab hold of now.
Ooh, let go.
All right, fact checked your own thoughts. Your thoughts will create scenarios in your mind that reflect your insecurities, fears, and worries. It's important to always fact check your own thoughts before accepting them, because in highly emotional situation, your thoughts will tell you stories that aren't true. Fact check yourself.
That's a big one right there. Yeah, I felt that one.
Acceptance is peace. No amount of anxiety will change your future. No amount of regret will change your past. Peace is found in acceptance. Accept imperfection, accept uncertainty, accept the uncontrollable. You don't have to understand, tolerate, or even forget something. But if you want peace, you must accept it.
I want peace so bad.
And then lastly, health starts in your mind. You can go to the gym, you can eat healthy, do yoga, drink water, take vitamins, but if you don't directly confront the negativity in your thoughts, you will never truly be healthy.
Ain't that the truth? Wow.
True health is measured by the quality of our thoughts and the peacefulness of our mind. Health starts in your mind.
Those are fantastic.
Wow.
Very good. Thank you, Kristen.
I will send you the link.
Please do.
So you can, instead of ruminating like you do every night before you go to bed, just read that list.
I need to read it daily. I was just about to say that. I'm going to do that. I'm
you
on
need
it.
To make it into a poster and stick it to the ceiling of
your bedroom.
Yes. I do. Remove that mirror you have up there and just put that up there.
Put a little spotlight on it.
This is The Burt Show.
All right, Amber, we got a couple of extra seconds here. Amber here, our producer, is thinking about getting her first tattoo, but it's not going to be like something superficial like you guys have, like a Tweety Bird or something.
Yes. If you are a new listener to The Burt Show, my recently my mother has passed away on October 25th of 2023, and I've always kind of wanted a tattoo, but I didn't want to be the kind of person just gets one to get one. I wanted it to have some sort of story, some sort of meaning. And I got to tell you, after losing your mom, that's a pretty big meaning. So I feel like that this one is a good way to go. So I don't, don't you cry. So I don't really know where I want to put it, where in my body, but I know that my mom was like one of the most important people to me ever.
Sure.
And I wanted to,
Let it out, girl.
I know, right? And I wanted to commemorate her. And so my idea was to go through the things in the house to see if I can find her handwriting. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking for like a I love you on a birthday card or something like that. And I wanted to get that tattooed on my body somewhere. Mm. I don't know exactly where. I'm thinking like my arm, someplace where I can see it and look like, that's my mom's handwriting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so in finding this tattoo, because I know it's something that's important. I know it's going to last a while. So I don't really have an idea of an artist or even how much it is or even how to go about finding a good artist. But I have to find the handwriting first. But it's just such an emotional thing because I know that a lot of people, I mean, tattoo is art, yes, but I know a lot of people who do get tattoos, it means something, you know, and I was thinking about even like filming it and stuff like that so I can share that with my dad or whoever. And I'm really nervous about it because I don't have any tattoos.
This will be
all.
The first, and it'll be a pretty impressive one and a pretty significant one to say the least.
I'll say, but it's going to feel really good to look down on my arm and be like, God, that's my mom's handwriting and I can have that, you know, forever.
Now, for people who do have tattoos, would you recommend she wait a year before doing this or just go for it?
No. Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Just because, like, as far as, like, placement and what exactly you want, because it is permanent. Well, technically, it's not permanent anymore because there's tattoo removal places.
You have to go into it thinking it's permanent, though. It's like a vasectomy.
Yeah, for sure. So I think with anything that's permanent, that you need to give it some like sincere thought. And obviously I think this is a beautiful tribute to your mother, but I know her passing is still very fresh.
Yes.
So when you're in that really emotional, vulnerable state, regardless of whatever has happened in your life, I feel like when you're in a very emotional, vulnerable state, make sure you give yourself enough time to process before you make any big decision. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
For me, tattoos always kind of, I just kind of knew. That's how it always worked for me. Like I never forced it. Like there's times when I want to get a tattoo, and I know what I want, but I'm not exactly where to put it. So I would give it a time. I don't think you'll need a year, but I do think when it hits you and you like, I got it, you're going to know. You're going to feel it. You're going to know it's right.
Here is listener Heather with the sweetest little offer. Hey, Heather, good morning. You're on the Burt Show.
Good morning, y'all. It's a P1 here. We talk often.
Thank you.
My dad passed away October 25th, 2023 at 3:33 in the afternoon. And everyone in my family, except for me, has tattoos. And I have been contemplating since he passed about getting a tattoo because that was his thing. He had them on his hands, his arms, his legs, his chest, everywhere. And he loved the cross, and he loved the Catholic cross. He was Catholic. I wasn't raised Catholic, but he's Catholic. And I have really been contemplating about getting this tattoo. And when she said that, and the day that her mom passed, it just really struck a chord with me. And I would like to know if she would want to possibly allow me to join her in this adventure, and we could do it together.
Sweet as that.
Actually,
yes.
Sweet as that.
That's
really
that's
sweet.
That's a really, yes. And honestly, it looks like our parents didn't pass away from together around the same time. Not just the date, but the time frame itself was very close.
Oh, look at the two of you guys getting tattoos together, just bawling at the same time as you're thinking about
you
your parents.
You want to give the tattoo artist a heads up.
Yeah, it's going to be an emotional day.
Heather, that's about the sweetest thing. Yeah. Let me put you on hold and we'll get you guys in contact with each other. And maybe this is something you guys could do together and help each other through it.
I think that would be incredible.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Hold on 1 second. Just to give you some audio and not to be nervous about what's going on when you get your tattoo, right?
Don't do it.
So
don't.
Here's the audio of a woman getting her very first tattoo. Oh. And it was seamless, totally seamless, okay?
Wait, I can't take it. Ouch.
Mess yourself up.
Ow!
Don't move. Next time you move, you're going to mess up your tattoo because I'm fixing to commit to it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
I think with that audio, he hadn't even started yet.
No.
Right, if we played that out, he hadn't even started. The needle hadn't even hit the skin yet. I think it's a beautiful gesture, and I think you should do it.
Thank you, man. I will.
For sure.
Go for it.
It's the Burt Show.
All right, moving on. What are the rules of engagement, Cass, when it comes to godparents, right? How involved should they be? Is it a label thing? Also, some people believe that if you're a godparent, you're sort of the backup plan. Something happens to me and the hubby, you got this, but that doesn't necessarily mean you got to be involved all the time. So where's your confusion?
Yeah, so the way I look at godparents is they're sort of like honorary aunts and uncles, right? Like officially brought into the fold. And one of my godparents of my children, though, has been, I guess, not doing something. And it's not problematic, but it's kind of raising some flags for me. And I'm wondering if I should say something. And so what it is every birthday and Christmas from their other godparents, they get, you know, gifts or texts, acknowledgement, phone calls, that sort of thing, like you would do if you were an aunt or an uncle, except for this one godparent doesn't acknowledge any birthday, doesn't acknowledge any Christmas. And I'm not saying that we need gifts. That's not what it's about. But it's just been like silence. No, how's it going with the kids? How are they? Nothing. Now, to be fair, I haven't reached out either. Like, I haven't been bombarding, but we live very long distance and they're old friends of the family. So it's like a deep connection. And so I don't know if I should say something. I don't know if maybe somehow they missed the memo that they're a godparent and it didn't really register. And so I'm in this weird situation where there's nothing wrong, but because nothing is happening, I feel like something is wrong. Does that make sense? That's convoluted, I know.
It does. So for us with our kids, the godparents were also relatives, so they were always in their life. But I can understand the confusion if they're outside of the family.
Yeah, and these are outside of the family.
So I'm a godparent to three different kids, right? And like just this couple, maybe a month ago, we celebrate the baptismal day. So we actually we get pancakes. It's our thing. We go to the OG Pancake House and we all go get pancakes together. And then there's obviously acknowledgement on Christmas and there's acknowledgement on birthdays as well. And again, it's not about the gifts. It's just about being a presence in that child's life. So as far as my role as godparent, I don't know if I'm in the will. I don't know if I'm getting these kids, if like the parents kick the bucket or anything like that. All I know is that they trust me to be a part of their child's life, to give their child guidance and to give them unconditional love as a godparent would.
Okay? I'm just asking, did they ask both you and Bart or was it just you?
My brother was just, Bart and I weren't married. So for my, I am the godmother of my nephew. And I am a godmother, just me, of Leslie's son. And then Bart and I are both godparents of Ren.
Okay.
So he got one of them.
I'm wondering if you were just part of the package, but now I
get it. Yeah. So it's been over a year. So I'm trying to think of whether or not you say something. It's disheartening. I would be bummed. You know what I mean? But I also feel like it's a two-way street. Like, as the godchild, you need to reach out to your godparent and like send like, hey, this is what Hazel's up to, or this is what Max is up to, whomever the godparent is, and keep them included. But if I would do that first, I would reach out and do like a godchild, like, hey, wanted to say hi, this is what's going on. And if you don't get anything after that, I think it's well within your right to say something or even rescind the godparent title.
Dang, you can do that?
Yeah, absolutely, you can do that.
You can pull it?
I had it taken away from me, and then I gotta give them back to me.
What?
Why'd you get it taken away? Because her brother married somebody, and she wanted they were both in the same faith. So she's like, hey, Brian's wife is going to be the godmother now. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's fine, whatever. But then they got divorced and she came back to me later and she's like, will you be Jacob's godmother again? And I'm like, sure.
I think you should say something because I remember I had a live once for my podcast. And I remember I was making jokes because I am the godfather to my best friend's daughter. And I had made these jokes about feeling like a deadbeat goddad. And it was kind of similar to Kristen's story because he was like, well, you know, he was going to change it up. And I'm competitive. So I was like, nah, if I'm the goddad, like I'm the goddad. And I stepped it up. And then I remember a conversation happening of where half the room thought being a godparent just implied that you stepped up if the person were to pass away.
No.
And then the other half of the room, it was implied that, no, that means like you can be a godparent and be in the child's life as the parents are still here. So I think sometimes people really just don't know what comes with being a godparent. So maybe communicating will help.
Yeah, I don't have godparents in my life and it's just not like a thing that we do, like a ritual or whatever. But to me, it's regardless of the title, if you had a strong enough relationship with these people to even bestow that on them, to me, it's weird that they wouldn't acknowledge your kids in any way. So for me, it's not so much about the title, but it is bizarre that these people were obviously clearly very important to you, clearly had a significant enough place in your life that you would want to give them that, that it does seem a little weird that they wouldn't want to acknowledge big things like birthdays.
Like, it's an honor to be a godparent. For sure. Like, you honored them with this title, and for them not to like acknowledge it, like, and that's your most precious gift in life is your kids. So of course you want your godparents to love on your kids. So you got an absentee godparent, and I would I would shake it up a little bit.
For sure.
All right, we're going to call him live and rescind the invitation.
Yeah, I like what you're thinking.
I'm kidding.
That's the Bird Show.
Here, Bird Show.
Chris Rock may have it twisted. He once said that women can't go back financially and men cannot go back sexually. So if you get all freaky, freaky, freaky with a dude, that's the new baseline for him, right? In this case, though, it's the girlfriend that isn't satisfied unless they continue to get freaky. Mo's got the email.
Hi, Bird Show. I'm hoping the ladies of the show can help me with a slight relationship issue I'm having. I'm starting to doubt my girlfriend's loyalty. We've been together for over 2 years, and we had a rocky start to our relationship. Within the first 6 months, I caught her emotionally cheating on me. One day, she left her watch at home, and several romantic messages were coming in from a guy she was working with at the time. I confronted her. She swore that nothing physically was going on between them. Ultimately, I decided to forgive her and move forward with our relationship. Fast forward to a few weeks ago, we went on a trip with three other couples. My girlfriend was a little tipsy, and she asked if we could both, quote-unquote, play piano with her best friend. This wasn't odd because it's something we've done once before. However, this time her friend is now in a relationship, so I felt uncomfortable. After telling her how I felt, she asked me hypothetically, what would I say if she played piano with her friend and her friend's boyfriend without me?
Oh, now we got problems.
I told her that I wouldn't be cool with it. Shocker. And she's never mentioned it again.
Can we pause there for just 1 second? Let's just pause there for 1 second. She shot her shot. But the shot can never be taken back.
Never.
And that changes everything, I think.
Yeah, even asking me that.
Yes.
That's going to create issues that we are going to have to deal with.
I feel like in life there are certain things you can ask. And it's totally okay. It's okay to ask, and it's okay for the person to say no. For instance, on planes, when a stranger says, hey, will you switch seats with my son so I can sit next to him? It's okay for them to ask, and it's okay for you to say no.
Yeah.
All right?
It's not going to change your relationship with that passenger forever, though.
Now, in this instance, the ask, well, that's the infraction.
That's all in.
Like, doing it is one thing, obviously, but even having, like, asking, hey, can I have sex with two other people, neither one of them being you? Mm-hmm. That's going to leave a mark.
Whoever said it doesn't hurt to ask clearly didn't consider this scenario.
You know what I'm saying? I don't hurt.
It hurts.
What are they going to do, say no?
I don't even think you're done with the email.
No.
Now, I'm worried because this weekend she's going on a trip with a friend that she wanted to hook up with. Since I won't be a part of this trip, I can't help but feel as if she'll cheat on me and do whatever she wants.
I don't blame you for thinking that way.
So how do I address my concerns without accusing her of something she hasn't done yet? Thanks for your advice, Josh.
Oh, Josh, you're screwed, bro.
You're not
in a good way.
Okay, so my saying is that you always end up back to your authentic self. You can lie to yourself for so long. You can try to quiet that voice that's in your head. But at some point or another, month, 6 months, year, you always come back to your authentic self. If this is what she wants, he's not into it. She's going to be cool for now. But at some point or another, it's going to be an issue again because that's what she wants.
Yep. Josh, I don't think you trust her. And I think you need to ask yourself point blank, why you don't. And I think it's probably because you know deep down that you got with this girl who, when you first met her, was probably this really fun, sexually confident, sexually fluid woman. And that was really attractive to you in the beginning. But at the end of the day, you know, months later, you're still dating that woman. But it affects your relationship differently now that there are feelings there. So I think you're just starting to notice the incompatibilities in your relationship, where maybe she's the type of person that needs this in her life, and that's okay that you're not okay with it, but you might have to have a conversation with yourself, recognizing that maybe you guys just aren't fit for each other.
Now, we have listeners that live in the quote-unquote lifestyle that might be able to help here better than we can. 1-855-BIRCHO, because as somebody that has never, that doesn't live this lifestyle, for me, this is a real infraction, right? And I don't know that I would ever be able to go back, because my first question would be, why? Like, and then I would need to hear the reasoning. But I think, based on what my dad used to tell me when he was screwing around on my mom all the time, is that he could separate the emotional from the physical without a problem whatsoever. To him, it wouldn't have been an infraction because he wasn't emotionally tied into it.
If she really cared about Josh, she wouldn't be going on this trip. Like, you have now put out there that you wanted to get intimate and physical with another person, right? And you asked and he said no. And now you're going on a solo trip with her. I feel like that's, I personally feel that's disrespectful, because if I'm putting myself in his shoes, if my husband came to me and said, hey, I want to have a threesome with you, me, and Cassie. And I was like, nah, I'm not down for that. And then he and Cassie are going on a solo trip like a couple weeks later. Absolutely not. Like, that's like, you're putting yourself in dangerous territory, and you're putting yourself in amongst temptation, and you're potentially jeopardizing the relationship for what? And even though they're friends, you've put that out there. So now, sorry, you can't take solo trips together anymore. Like, if you want to take a group trip, sure, with me there, okay. But as far as taking a solo trip with somebody you came and asked if you could have sex with, absolutely, no, you can't do that, man.
So out of bounds.
Yeah, there are red flags and there are deal breakers. And for me, this would be a deal breaker, because the moment you ask me if you can be intimate with another man, it's not even at that point about you wanting to do that. That's cool. That's your life. That's how you want to live. And I'm not mad at you. But now it becomes a thing where I'm going to feel like I have to police the things you do. And I don't want to do that.
Amen.
Like, I always talk about the couples who don't allow their significant other to take certain trips and go to certain places. And I've never wanted to live like that, because I believe you should be able to trust your partner. But telling me something like that is going to take the trust up out of me real fast. And we're going to have to move on from
there. I literally watched the trust float out of my body. And float away. Done and done.
The Burt Show.
All right, I want to share a DM with you guys that I got the other day that I haven't answered yet, that I feel very conflicted about. Like, I have a lot of empathy for it, but I also feel a certain way about, this is going to get us back to what our preferences are and how people can be offended by what your preference to date is. Okay, so let me read this to you.
Oh, because we were just talking about a guy has a preference. He won't date anybody who's cheated on somebody.
Right. Okay, Cassie, I want to get you in on this one, because I said, I guess, over the course of the last couple of weeks, which is the truth, is that I'm attracted to fit women, right? This really rubs somebody the wrong way. First, I need to tell you that I'm a big time P1. I've loved you guys for years. Thank you for making me laugh and cry on the way to work for over 10 years. Anyway, I was listening to some old podcast, and I just wanted you to be aware of something you said that really made me feel a certain way. So already with this DM, my wall is down. I mean, and I'm open to it, because it seems like it's coming from a kind place.
She's a fan.
Yeah, and I will get DMs from time to time from people that have, I can see clearly that there's not going to be any wiggle room here. There's not going to be any kind of compromise whatsoever. They're going in hard, and then they're going to peace out. This one here, at least already, has said to me, like, okay, you said something that hurt my feelings, and she's telling me. So I'm all right with it. She said, you said something about being attracted to fit women. I can't remember the exact conversation we had a couple of weeks ago.
I don't remember.
It's come up,
I'm sure we've had it.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot.
You say it a lot.
I do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I'm attracted to fit. Why would that even come up all
You've
the time?
You said it seven times in this segment.
Well, we happen to be talking about it. As a woman that has struggled with her weight my whole life, this really made me feel sad to know that I would never be considered to date by anyone just because I'm not fit. I feel like I've been overlooked my entire life, and to hear the words come out of someone's mouth that I really respect made me feel super sad. I know you didn't do it on purpose, but I urge you to consider using different language as to not inflict unnecessary pain. Thank you, Gene. So I didn't know how to respond back to it. You know, I guess when we are talking about things that we are attracted to in a partner, that is probably one that does come up because that is my lifestyle. I mean, you guys know that there's nothing I like than a conversation about biohacking or talking about the gym or body science or whatever. So that is what I am attracted to, right? So I didn't know how to respond to it really, except to really kind of say, like, I can understand how you would be hurt by that, but I don't even know if going forward I don't say it because she's going to be hurt by that.
So I think I can explain it, and I definitely commiserate with Gene because I've heard other people say it too, and it stings to know that you're dismissed right off the bat. Doesn't matter who you are inside, how great you are, what you've accomplished, but because you're carrying some extra weight or you don't have a six pack, you're like disgusting and uninteresting. And that's the message that gets sent, even if that's not what you're trying to say.
It's like now, you're not worthy because you're overweight.
Exactly. Now, on that note, I don't think it's your job, Bert, to manage my emotions and my feelings. I need to do, that's my job, right? So while you say something that may hurt my feelings, one, I don't think your intent is to be hurtful at all. I don't think you think all those awful things that I think when I think about myself being fat, that's internalized hate. It's my job to manage them. Now, the difference to me is if you say something like, I want a partner who is active and enjoys working out and has an active lifestyle, to me, I'm like, all right, well, you want somebody who wants to have conversations about biohacking, who goes to the gym with you, goes on hikes. That doesn't mean she can't be fat because you can do all of those things and have those interests and still have extra weight. But when you say I like people who are fit, that sends the message that it's a more superficial thing, even though I know it would be more in depth in a partner that you would want. But it's, hey, fatties, don't apply. Is basically, and it's not really you, Bert. It's that's the code that's on Tinder and dating sites is I like fit women means fatties do not apply.
Yeah,
that's what it means.
And I don't want to keep rehashing the same argument that we've had over and over and over again, but Abby loves tall guys, and on a day-to-day, it's either joked about or what have you, that she won't even entertain somebody that's short. So when she said that, hey, you don't know what it's like to be dismissed just because of the way you look, yes, I do. Now, you have explained it, that it is there is some difference between being between weight and height, and what you have said to me in the past makes some sense. But I don't get mad at Abby for that. And I don't say, hey, reword that because it's hurting my feelings. To me, that's just a preference of hers.
Would you rather me use, I don't date guys who are vertically challenged? Is that the politically correct way?
No, what I'm saying is it doesn't bother me at all because it simply is a preference of yours. It is not one that I am unaware of with other women. Also, it doesn't affect me whatsoever.
Unfortunately, it's such a complex situation and it's so nuanced that there's no right answer. It's not black and white. When you talk about being dismissed because of height or weight, like those are both very valid things if that hurts you. I won't say a blanket statement all the time. A lot of what we're attracted to is influenced by what's in popular culture and what's hot right now. I'm not saying this is the case for everybody, but a lot of people will be attracted to certain body types because that's what the society they're in pushes them towards. It used to be bodies like mine were hot stuff in the Renaissance, but still like that's what painters painted. If you were waifish or thin, you weren't hot. And then Twiggy the model came along and it was in all of a sudden and heroin chic became a thing. And then we see the Kardashians with the big curves back in the day. If you look through the timeline of out history, what female bodies are attractive fluctuates so greatly that society, whether you realize it or not, has more of a say on how you feel. And I'm not saying it's the complete explanation for why you're attracted to what you're attracted to. Same for men, tall men. It's because a lot of the times women have been part of the discussions in our culture is men are protectors. So if you feel small and petite next to your big, strong, tall man, one, you feel skinny, you feel protected. And so it's become this marker of masculinity. And I think it's unfair. So when you look at these situations and then the stigma against overweight people and even the stigma against short people as well, who are under a certain height, there's so much of it that is taught, that is learned, and the way people are treated in those other areas of life too. I think, was it you or someone on the show said that short men are also less likely to get promotions or less taken seriously in the business place? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's not even just dating. So when someone sees like, you know, I like fit women or I like tall men, even though you don't mean it, it's hitting that nerve that says, I'm unworthy in every single aspect of my life just because of what I look like. We could have the exact same personality profile and love the same things. Mm-hmm. We could be the perfect match, but because I got extra poundage, you won't even look at me. And I know that's not the message you're sending, but that's what a lot of people hear.
Yeah, and again, I do think it goes both ways here. And if I had to really dig a little bit deep on my insecurity, I probably like smaller women because I don't want to feel like a smaller guy. Mm-hmm. I've had women that I was dating when she literally said that when we were sitting together, she said, look, your legs make me feel heavier because you're smaller than I am. So she was feeling that insecurity. And as a short guy that's 5'4" and relatively small, I probably am linking up with women that make me feel a little bit more masculine.
And there's like literally nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a crappy thing to put on you too in a relationship, to say something like that. They may not have even realized mm-hmm. what they were doing.
Oh, it hurt.
Yeah.
It definitely hurt.
And so your choices, I don't think choosing to date a specific kind of like tall person or a fit person makes you a bad person at all. It's just when the message gets sent out along with all the other messaging that we hear from all mm-hmm. over that this is not worthy, this is bad, I would never even ill consider it, it's just not my jam. It hits different. And it's not your fault, though, and it's not your problem.
I see both sides, and I, like you, Bert, have always thought it's a preference at the end of the day, and I do think it goes both ways. Like, I remember being younger, and I was tall, but I was skinny, and you would always hear from women like, oh, he's a twig. You need to get some muscles on. Put some muscles on. And you can look at muscular guys and then start to feel insecure about it, which is why I told y'all the story earlier about me benching over 300 pounds and almost dying. Because I remember like what that made me feel like. But for me personally, I just genuinely think the answer is in loving yourself so much that it's just irrelevant what somebody else thinks at the end of the day. Because everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to like your type, whatever your type is. But if you love yourself enough, it's irrelevant. So what if they don't? So what if they do?
Mic drop.
Well done. Yay. Well done. Well done. All right, it's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
All right, look, if you're going to have problems in your marriage, can we just put them on pause for the first 2 years? All right, can we just make the first 2 years an honest relationship before the marriage starts crumbling? Katie knows somebody who already, they just pretty much got married. It's a new wife. And this dude finds out that she's been lying about finances?
Yes, and I want to know what you all would do if you were in the situation. So my friend, her father, he just recently got married to a woman that he's been dating for about 2 years. They decided to keep, you know, no real wedding. They just went to the courthouse, had a little reception. They're like, we're too old for that. Let's just get straight to the point. And for the most part, from what my friend has known about this relationship, it's been good. She's met the woman. She thinks the woman is nice and great. So she, of course, was like, I'm happy that she's in our lives now, right?
There's been no red flags that they've noticed.
No red flags at all. So when they...
That's a red flag, by the way.
No red flags is a red flag.
There has to be at least one little red one.
It gotta be something
one
wrong.
One little red one.
It should be a yellow flag, not a red.
All right.
There is no such thing as no red flags.
No.
Right.
Can't be too... That's too... It's perfect.
Oh, I guess. So before they got married, they discussed what their future would look like because they lived in separate households. And they lived in an apartment, and they were trying to determine, do we get a house? And if we're going to get a house, then we're going to need to make this investment. There's going to be a lot of money that we're going to put into this. However, she told my friend's father that, you know, let's hold off on the house because I have some debts that I need to pay off. And I just want to let you know, before getting married, mm-hmm. I'm in debt.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe getting a house right now is not the best idea. We can just do an apartment. It's only the two of us. Our kids are grown.
She was honest right from the jump, though.
Right.
Green flag.
Hmm?
Is it what?
That's a green flag.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Show all the ugliness right off the bat.
That's
what Mo says.
Some debt, some might consider that a little red flag considering how significant the debt is.
For sure.
So he's like, you know what? If we're going to be a part of this union, you're my woman. I got you, right? Because at this time he's thinking, I make more money.
Mm-hmm.
I have a little stuff stacked up. How much in debt are you? And I'll see what I can help you pay off.
Sure.
So we can get down. So she tells him how much debt she is, and it's probably ranging nearly 30K.
Ooh, okay.
Of debt.
Okay.
That's significant.
A little heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very heavy. But he helps her pay it. He pays about 25.
Ooh, okay. Come on, King.
Right?
Wow. Because
He got some money stacked up, and This is his lady. Why not? Not thinking anything of it. They get married. They've only been married for like a month or so, not too long. And he notices one day going through mail that there's like a, I guess like her savings account statement that's out on like the table. And when he sees the number.
Uh-oh. It was already open or he opened it?
It was already open.
Okay.
It was like with all the mail though, like, you know, you open mail, right, and just leave it around. And he sees the number. She has about a quarter of a mil in her savings account.
Uh-oh. In her savings account.
In her savings account.
Oh, no.
Not only that, he sees this. He's upset. He confronts her like, hey, what's this? Where does money come from? Right? You never tell me about this money. And she confesses, I've been lying about my finances. I actually had this money stacked up. I don't know what excuse she gave. She just said that she had money stacked up. And then she told him about her income. Not only that, he thought that she probably made about 70K a year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's well in the six figures.
Oh, good boy.
So now he feels like, I just helped you pay this debt off that you could have paid yourself.
Easily.
But you purposely didn't tell me this. What do I do with this information now?
Look, man.
Oh, financial infidelity sucks.
Totally. I mean,
this is so tough for me because my first instinct is I want my money back and I'm gone. But you rich and now I kind of want to stay. I'm confused.
What was the reasoning behind her not being honest at all?
I didn't get the full details of the reasoning why. She just said, so, like, basically, I'm sorry. I don't know.
I do know sometimes reasoning for a woman is, look, I'm going to have this in my back pocket. So if something goes wrong with me and my man, then I can always fall back on this, which I sort of respect, to be honest with you, because if you're depending on somebody else for all of your cash and he decides like this thing is all over, you've got nothing.
The financial safety net, I totally understand.
Yeah. But this is him paying off her debt when she has this. That's 100% wrong. And then lying on, like, what was she trying to accomplish by lying about her salary also? Or her? She didn't lie, I guess. He was just assuming.
I think from what I'm basing this off of, I think it's more of what can I get out of him?
Exactly. Like,
how much will he really do for me? How much does he really love me?
See, this is such a character thing for me. That's like cheating for me. It's such a character issue that she lied and had him cover for her when she had the means. I don't know that I would look at her the same way.
It, for me, it would be just as bad as cheating. It's like the same thing. It's not the fact that she had the money. If you wanted to keep that to yourself and have a little stash just in case, that's fine. I mean, a quarter of a million is more than a little stash. But the fact that you let me pay off the debt, knowing that you had that and could have paid it your own debt 50-11 times if you wanted to, it would be no coming back for me.
Totally getting taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
Playing a fool. He must feel like a fool.
What's your friend saying her dad's doing?
Well, he's conflicted because he's like, at this age, I thought I found love and I really want to be with her. And we just got married. We just moved in. This is a sticky situation. So he doesn't really know what he's going to do.
I would be breaking up, but she taking me on a vacation first.
She's cutting me a check for 25K.
That is honestly the first thing she's got to do is give him that back.
And he shouldn't have to ask for it. Like, after he finds this out, he should not. She should immediately pull out that checkbook and write him a 25K check and hand it to him without him even having to ask.
That's true.
100%.
With interest.
Yes. It's the Bird Show.
The Burt Show.
Is she moving too fast? She just ended an 8-year relationship and like immediately is starting to see somebody else. Things are going well, but now she's starting to second guess herself and go like, am I moving things just too fast?
Hi, Burt Show. Last November, I received some advice from you all regarding my 8-year relationship with no proposal. I decided to take Kristen's line in the sand day advice after being extremely clear with my boyfriend that marriage and children were non-negotiable for my future. I told myself that if he didn't propose by January 1st, the relationship would be over. And sure enough, the holidays came and went with no ring or promise for marriage, not even a mention of it. So I broke up with my now ex-boyfriend on January 2nd.
kicked him out of my house. And let me tell you, I feel amazing.
Bye.
Bye. So after hearing my words played back on the show, I realized how desperate I was to make something impossible work simply because of the length of time we had been together. I took a step back and I evaluated his effort in the relationship and around the house and saw myself as more of a roommate than his partner. I started to resent him and I knew for a while things were nearing the end. I honestly don't know if he will have ever have the capacity to marry anyone. I've been grieving the end of this relationship for weeks, so now that it's over, I have never felt more free. Once he was out of the house, I received countless lectures from friends and family about how this was the time for me to find myself again, how I shouldn't rush into the next thing, and how I should get comfortable with being alone for a while. However, a few days after the breakup, I met someone new while I was out with a friend. He's a couple years older than me, great job, funny and sweet, similar interests. Honestly, checks all the boxes. We clicked instantly. It's like the sky opened up and dropped the perfect guy right into my lap. We've been seeing each other almost every day for the last 2 weeks. The piano playing is the absolute best I've ever had. I'm just having so much fun. He really knows that I'm newly out of a relationship and is okay with taking things at my pace. I'm really not trying to rush into the next thing, but everything just feels so right. Please don't drag me through the coals because I know how all this sounds. I'm really not trying to rush, but things are moving just naturally and perfectly. But be straight with me. Is this too soon? Shouldn't I feel worse after this kind of breakup? I feel guilty for feeling so good. Do I keep seeing him or is time alone really necessary after this kind of a breakup?
Why are all eyes on me? Isn't that interesting?
Okay. 8 years is a very long time to be with somebody. I typically would be one to suggest that you do take some time to yourself to really sort through the feelings of sort through your feelings. And I'm not saying there's a right or wrong amount of time to mourn the end, you know, to mourn the end of a relationship. In this instance, I feel like in this particular instance, I feel like the end, it hasn't just been 2 weeks. I feel like the ending has been longer, even though you guys were together. It was still like the end of the relationship, if that makes sense.
Like you probably were already in the mourning period while you were still in the relationship?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that can exist. So as of right now, I feel that like what you deserve because you haven't had happy in so long, do what makes you happy right now. And if that is going out with this dude, then so be it. Now, you're just going out, having fun, getting your ear on. Before you move on to anything serious, I would take a step back, you know what, and really like observe the situation. But right now, as you're my friend, I would not judge you. I was like, you deserve happiness. You deserve release. Go have your fun and don't feel bad about it.
So I'm going to double down on what Kristen is saying. Kristen, for years and years, advised me like after a breakup, take some time. And I have been a notorious relationship jumper, right? Mm-hmm. And she was right in her advice. After my divorce, when I was just a pig, I really should have done nothing. I should have spent more time with myself because the women that I was dating, it was unfair. They never really had a chance. I hadn't mourned my divorce long enough. So I would absolutely, if I had to do it over again, I would have taken Kristen's advice. However, I will say this, that, and some of this is the exact same thing you said. If it's casual like that, spend time by yourself. However, if a unicorn comes around and you really believe in your heart that this is the right person, I don't know how you pass that up without having regret that. I wonder, you just know when it's totally different and it's a completely different level. And I wouldn't be capable of saying, you know what? I got to put this thing on pause for a couple of months because my heart would be where I think I'm supposed to be.
For me, I think it's a feeling thing. And I don't think there's a formula or an equation that works for everybody. Mm-hmm. I used to think that you need to take time after a relationship. But the older I get, the more I realize that's just not always necessary. I think I was in a relationship once that impacted my life so much, I needed that time. But I was also in a relationship that I grieved while I was in it. So by the time it was over, it felt like it had been over for a long time. And I didn't need the time. So I think life is short. Everybody is different. Every relationship is different. And I think you should just go with your feeling. If your instincts and your gut is telling you that it feels right, I don't think there's a such thing as too soon or too long. And I know in the relationship I'm in now, it felt very different than when I met anyone else at any point in my life. And it kind of went to that thing of when you know, you know. That's what people say. So if it feels right, I think you should just go with it until it doesn't.
So it's different than that intoxicating new feeling that you have with any new date. This was different.
It was very different. Like it was, yeah, because that feels like it's just new and you're more excited because it's new. But there's something different about meeting someone and it just fits it to the point where it's like scary. Like you knew them your entire life and you haven't. That's a different feeling than just the intoxication thing that you're saying.
Yeah, but you've got to really be honest with yourself, because as your friend, like if you come to me and you say, oh, I found this unicorn, I'm honestly going to have a hard time feeling like it's a unicorn so quickly after the relationship. Because after you end an 8-year relationship, I think sometimes it can feel like it's the right thing because you're so lonely and it feels so good. It's almost like a salve over that wound. But to your point, Kristen, like I think sometimes you can grieve the relationship while you're in it. I think women especially do that. So I think, you know, get some, and if it's fun, enjoy it while it's just that. But really be honest with yourself. Is this the right person? Is this a unicorn, or does it just feel good in the moment?
The Burt Show.
Breaking up is hard to do.
Finally, he told me that he wasn't ready to get married.
The day before.
We were supposed to get married.
And when a breakup sounds more like true crime than a true love story, they come on The Breakup Breakdown to talk about it. We cover everything from lies. It
took me years to figure out what happened. The lies about having cancer.
To cheating.
His hand was up her skirt.
And everything in between.
I can't do this crazy throuple thing.
Hear the latest gossip from the couples who you've never heard of.
Drama after drama after drama.
And we break down this week's breakup only on The Breakup Breakdown podcast.